After completing his training and standing on the verge of going into the battlefield, a soldier of World War II from Bristol, Tennessee, became interested in his soul's salvation. Before his overseas assignment, he was granted a furlough, and he went home to see his parents in Bristol, Tennessee, hoping that during the furlough he would find his mother and father in a position to show him how to be saved. He knew that his parents were church members and pretended to be Christians, although there seemed to be very little signs of them really being saved. However, his hopes were that war conditions and having a son in service would cause his parents to turn to the Lord so that they would be able to help him in his earnest desire to be prepared to meet God. But the young soldier was greatly disappointed to find his mother as indifferent as ever. She was interested only in material things and never mentioned the Lord in the course of all the conversation. His father was wrapped up in his defense job, and he could talk about his big salary and all the things that accompanied these wonderful days. Time and again during his furlough, the young soldier brought up the subject of salvation, hoping that his mother or his father would talk to him about his soul. But it was very evident that they were not interested in that part of their son's deep need. The young man went back to the camp broken-hearted, for his high hopes of being saved while home on furlough were dashed to pieces, and he was compelled to turn to outside sources to find the way of salvation. This story has no doubt been duplicated in many other cases. How discouraged a son must feel who has looked up to his parents for consolation and guidance, only to find, on this most important question, the parents are blank and unable to help. In sharp contrast to this, we have the record of a young man in the New Testament by the name of Timothy, who is a soldier of Jesus Christ. And in the second letter that Paul wrote to him as a young son in the faith, there are a few interesting details about his family life, which are the very opposite of that of the Tennessee soldier. In 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded also in thee." In chapter 3 and verse 13, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Timothy's mother Eunice can say, "The greatest honor that was ever conferred upon me is the fact that my name should be mentioned in the holy scriptures as a faithful mother." And Eunice might very appropriately say, "I owe that to the faithfulness of my mother Lois." If dear old grandmother Lois should take the witness stand, I think I could hear her say, "I hardly realize the tremendous value of taking time to teach my daughter Eunice the Word of God. But now I more fully see its value. I am reaping the benefits in getting enjoyment in seeing Eunice teaching Timothy. And Timothy, as a result of his training, has become a good soldier of Jesus Christ and a bosom companion of the Apostle Paul. In my advanced years, when the things of earth are fading away, I can rejoice in my grandson Timothy being used of God in his service." That careless mother and father in Bristol, Tennessee, will also reap, but it will be the sad remorse of not being able to help their son when he wanted to be saved. It is quite evident that they were not saved. Perhaps I am speaking to parents right now, and your children have already come to you in confidence and ask you about heaven and who will be there. And pray tell me, how did you answer their questions? It was rather embarrassing. You were afraid they would ask, "And will you be there?" Dishonest parents tell a lie just to evade the issue. Honest parents will bow the head in shame and tell the truth. "No, I won't be there because I am not a Christian." And you should see the strange, bewildered look on that child's face while he obviously asks, "And why are you not a Christian?" I dare say some of the most embarrassing moments in your life were on such occasions. I am not exaggerating when I say it is absolutely cruel to bring children into the world and not to be able to lead them to a knowledge of Christ. To send them to Sunday school is not enough, for what they learn in Sunday school in 1 hour of the week is being contradicted by example in your home the rest of the week. By continuing in your unsafe condition, you are boldly asking for plenty of tears, heartaches, and sleepless nights, for the parental payday is not far ahead. If that Bristol, Tennessee father and mother had known Christ as Savior and honored him, their son would no doubt have been saved before entering the armed forces. And even if not, happy would have been the day, the occasion, when a son is coming home on furlough and is saying, "I am ready to be saved. Can you show me how to be saved?" Perhaps I am speaking to an unfortunate son or daughter. Unfortunate because your parents are the typical 20th century parents, careless and unsaved. If you have a desire to be saved and cannot turn in confidence to your parents, you will be obliged to do as did the soldier. You will have to do the next best thing. I'm sure that you know some true Christian friend who has an interest in your soul and who will be able to help you. If you do not know of a Christian who can help you, I am sure that you will find it by carefully and prayerfully reading the Holy Scriptures. If you will tell God that you want to be saved and ask Him to show you the clear and unencumbered plan of salvation from the reading of the Scriptures, you will not be disappointed. You will very soon discover that you are a lost and guilty sinner in God's sight, and that your good deeds are not sufficient to obtain the forgiveness of your few or many sins. You will learn, too, that Christ loved you and died in your stead on the old rugged cross, and that His death, as your substitute, is the only means whereby you may obtain pardon and forgiveness. Salvation is offered to you only through Christ. When you receive Him as your sin-bearer, as your Savior, you are saved by grace. This truth is expressed very clearly in Acts 4 and 12, which reads like this: "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Listen again to 1 John 5, 11 and 12. "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." You see from these verses and many more that salvation is ever and always offered through Christ. You can't be saved without coming to Christ. In closing, I want to make my final appeal to the parents who are listening. I want you to realize how serious it is to have children and not to be able to lead them to Christ. You will never be happy until you have a Christian home. The most important issue that is before you right now is the matter of your own soul salvation. I beg of you, don't put it off. Come to the Savior today. And then seek to lead your children to know this wonderful Savior. May God, through His Word, convict you and bring you to know this wonderful Savior.